Now, the new 940 Montreal presents The Last Angry Man, Beryl Wiseman.
I want to talk about an obscenity today. And if I haven't made myself clear before, let me be clear on this. The idea that elected officials of this country make a suggestion that we in any way facilitate discussions with a terror organization is as vile an obscenity as I've heard mouthed from elected officials in my over 30 years of involvement in public affairs. Its hypocrisy of transparent electoral prostitution shames me as a Canadian. Its cowardice of appeasement sickens me as a human being. Its rewarding of the bloodlust of Hezbollah offends every standard of civilized man. These MPs want to have a conversation with Hezbollah, discussions on their grievances. They arrived at this conclusion after a fact-finding trip sponsored by the National Council on Canada-Arab Relations. Well, here's a memo for them. For the sake of Canada's soul and spirit, so recently restored in pride and purpose by a bold new prime minister, it get this. Hezbollah has no grievances. Hamas has no grievances. Hezbollah's bosses in Tehran and Damascus have no grievances save one, as set out in Section 7 of its charter. Their grievance exists. Their purpose is to wipe Israel off the map. It considers it, quote, a foreign entity on what it views as an Islamic protectorate. It seeks to kill Jews for the sole reason that they are Jews. It is a proxy army for Iran, funded by Iran, trained and supplied by Iran and Syria, and commanded in many of its units by Iranians. Iran's President Ahmadinejad has made clear his intentions not only to eliminate Israel and all Jews, but to impose Islamic hegemony in the West. On what point would these MPs and their fellow travelers wish to begin to negotiate? Discussions with such a group, even if not taken off a terrorist list, would be a signal that Canada succumbs to and rewards terror, that Canada is a weak sister not to be counted on, and that if the Islamic fascist alliance that Hezbollah is a part of blows off enough limbs and severs enough heads, the West will succumb and surrender. I'm sure these MPs are sorry they missed the pro-Hezbollah demonstration in London on Saturday that featured prominent signs calling for a support of the restoration of the caliphate. That's what Ahmadinejad calls his restoration of Islamic hegemony. One of the MPs, Maria Moreni, had the temerity to call Prime Minister Harper's pro-Israel position Canada's shame. What spineless audacity. So the matter is that these MPs have brought ignominy and infamy on this country by being the first Western elected officials from the English-speaking world to call for the appeasement of Hezbollah. They've committed treason to the legacy of tens of thousands of Canadian men and women who've died for the survival and success of liberty and are now lay buried row on row beneath fields where poppies grow. This gang of three would do well to remember Churchill's admonition that an appeaser is someone who feeds the crocodile hoping he will eat him last. And the crocodile will eat people like this. For them to engage in the kind of sophomoric sophistry that compares Hezbollah to IRA is borders on insanity. The IRA never wanted to kill gays. The IRA never wanted to demean women. The IRA never wanted to behead anybody for having adulterous affairs, and the IRA never wanted to impose an ideology, a dogma, and a tyranny on the entire world. These representatives of our parliament have shamed this nation, and it's time we took them and the kind of people that marched in Montreal on August the 6th to task. It's enough. It's enough with their apologies. It's enough with their reposturing of positions. I was misquoted. I didn't mean this. I didn't mean they should be taken off the terrorist list. I meant that the condition attached to a terrorist list don't let you talk. Nonsense. If they're elected officials, they've got to stand by what they mean, and they've got to stand by what they say, and we shouldn't let them off the hook for faint-hearted apologies afterwards.
You're listening to The Last Angry Man, Beryl Wiseman, on the new 940 Montreal. You're listening to the new 940 Montreal. Now, back to The Last Angry Man, Beryl Wiseman. Call Beryl at 790-0006.
We're back and we're talking about the comments of these MPs that are doing this fact-finding trip in Lebanon. Robert from downtown, how are you tonight?
Very good. I agree with you 110%. I don't think that Quebecers or Canadians ever realized, as much as they do now, what Israel had to put up with all of these years. I mean, you know, I don't want to go into centuries, but
the past couple of decades.
50 years, anyway. They have put up with so much, and we've only realized this when they come here and they start telling us, and they go all over, and they start telling you that your liberty stops here, and you can't put this in the newspaper, and you can't do that. And
well, Robert, you know what bothers me more, almost more than anything, is that where were the demonstrations when NATO was bombing the Muslim populations of Kosovo? Where were the demonstrations when Russia was putting down the Muslim populations of Chechnya and blowing up whole cities? Where were the demonstrations, for that matter, when the PLO before it, Hezbollah now, was ripping and tearing Lebanon apart? Lebanon should be for the Lebanese, not for foreign-dominated armies. Where are the demonstrations on that? And suddenly when Israel defends itself, it becomes a moral resort area for everybody?
And we can't tell the difference between who's Hezbollah and who is a Lebanese. You know, this is the problem. I'm telling you, people say that it's going to come here in 10 years. It's not true. It's here now. Who are we to say who's who? It's like you said, it's too bad, but
I don't think there's a question of that. London to Bali, from Beslan to Madrid.
I think that very soon, you know, we have Bush, who a lot of people don't like, who I'm starting to appreciate, but anyway, he's nothing compared to what the Americans can put in his place. You know, and they could start using nuclear bombs if these fanatics don't stop it. Because they're out. If you're Christian or if you're Jewish or if you're Chinese or Buddhist or whatever, you're the demon. They think.
Why do you think not enough people get it here? I mean, we have a government that understands
it. Because there was no bombs here set. You wait until there's a bomb at Place Marie and there's about 1,000 people that die in one crack. Then maybe they're going to realize that they're living in 206.
But they've seen, you know, they've seen the bombings in London. They've seen the bombings
in
Madrid.
They don't believe that it'll happen here. Here, it's even worse. It's even worse. I don't want to say in what line I'm in. I'm telling you, they're here now. And may I say, tell that to Jim Duff. They're here now.
I think Jim knows that. He just likes to get argumentative now and then.
Yes, that's true, too, you know, for the show. But I agree with you, and that we have to put a stop to it. Israel, we're very soft. It's too bad that Israel didn't totally annihilate, destroy them. But they couldn't because, why? They're too nice. Because these terrorists were hiding behind people. They were hiding behind buildings where people were living, etc. How come all of a sudden the United Nations is starting to take its time?
Robert, I thank you for your call, and I think you'll be interested in the next guest. Robert, have a good evening.
Thank you.
We're proud to welcome Public Security Minister Stockwell Day. Minister Day, welcome.
Good to be with you.
I don't know what it's going to take sometimes, you know, living in Montreal, to make Canadians get it when we have a situation like this. It's got to drive you a bit around the bend when you hear this kind of waffling by elected officials that are supposed to have Canada's best interests at heart.
Well, it's very disturbing. First, just from the point of view of principle, we have articulated a clear position. As a matter of fact, the previous Liberal government, under much pressure from the opposition at the time, finally agreed to join many other countries in banning Hezbollah. So here we have a terrorist group whose stated intent, and they don't hide it, their stated intent, their very reason for existing, is genocide of all Jews and the annihilation of Israel. And we quite rightly...
And the imposition of their theology and tyranny on the West.
Of course. And then our Prime Minister, Stephen Harper, signs a G8 resolution demanding that Hezbollah disarm and disavow their stated intent of genocide of all Jews and then the annihilation of Israel. And now we have, apparently, a group of MPs, a liberal MP leading the group, saying that we should water down that position and abandon it. And it hurts Canada's credibility. It's disturbing, at least. And I was hoping that we would hear a very clear renouncing of that. I said yesterday that I hope the Liberal MP would say that, would at first either deny he said it or say he was misquoted. So he's sort of saying he was kind of misquoted.
A backdoor thing that he didn't really mean to get them off the list, just to get the conditions that come with being on the list.
Exactly, and he went further to say that he thought it was a mistake that they were put on the list in the first place.
Minister Dave, if you could stay with us for just a second, we'll be right back after the short break.
Good.
You're listening to The Last Angry Man, Beryl Wiseman, on the new 940 Montreal. This is the new 940 Montreal. Let's talk. Call The Last Angry Man, Beryl Wiseman, at 790-0006.
Montreal and everybody listening on the World Wide Web, we're back. We're speaking with Public Security Minister Stockwell Day. Stockwell Day, I'm going to make a personal observation. A few years ago when you spoke at an institute conference where Jim Woolsey was also a guest, I said that this kind of plain speaking that we're hearing from your government, we would hear if you would become Prime Minister. Now we're hearing it from Prime Minister Harper and from you. How much damage does it do in terms of signals to our allies when they hear our government speaking one way, we will not have truck with terror? And then we've got all these people representing the opposition who are opposing merely for the sake of opposing instead of proposing, saying, you know, we've got to deal with people that want to annihilate the West. What does that do to Canadian credibility and consequence?
Well, it hurts credibility. We think we can do the damage control on it, but it sends a wrong message, number one, to our allies. And just as alarmingly, it sends a wrong message to the terrorists. It says to the terrorists that their methods of suicide bombing, rockets into towns and cities, the direct, deliberate bombing of buses with children in them, it sends them a message that they're winning, that in fact they're causing Canada to become fearful and to abandon a very clear position. And that's why we are articulating it once again and in the clearest tones possible, that Prime Minister Harper has signed a resolution with the G8 countries which says very clearly Hezbollah must disarm and they must disavow their stated goal of the genocide of Jews and the annihilation of Israel. We're making that very plain. We are not backing off on that. And despite the fact we have opposition MPs and some in the Liberal Party waffling on that position, we are being very clear. We are standing up to this terrorist group, and we will not change that view.
Not just this one, but this very same Liberal opposition that mandated the mission in Afghanistan that they are now criticizing.
That's been equally disconcerting. We agreed with the Liberal position that we should answer the call of help from the people of Afghanistan who want a democracy, who want to see freedom of speech, who want their kids to be able to go to school, who want equal rights for women, who want the death and destruction to stop. We answered that call, as did other NATO countries. And we are there. We are there providing protection while they build institutions of civil society. And to have liberals backing out on that at the worst possible time, and can you imagine the signal that would send to the Taliban and other terrorist groups?
It's a horrible signal, and I must say, I, as a Canadian, feel slighted when I hear opposition MPs of any party say that this government, your government, is doing things in foreign policy to follow the United States. Canada, for the first time in a generation, is leading. We were the first to condemn Hamas. We said we don't cut and run in Kandahar. We've condemned funding for any terrorist organizations, no matter their social service. We led on that. We didn't have to, but we did. And that must rankle you terribly when you hear things like that.
Well, we led on that, and that historically reflects back to historical positions that Canada has taken in times of international crisis. We were in World War One 3 years before the Americans were in.
Twice as many men and women in uniform.
World War II 2 years before the Americans were in. We have always taken our position, or historically, Canadian governments have taken positions that have been in the best interest of Canada. And we are starting, thankfully, to do that again under Prime Minister Harper's leadership. And I guess there's some people out there who don't like that. But we believe in stability, peace, and security and democracy, whether other nations agree with us or not, quite frankly. And we will continue to work with nations to make sure we have a more peaceful, more stable, more democratic world.
Well, Stockwell Day, under the government that you're a part of, this country may begin to understand what George Bernard Shaw wrote when he said, liberty demands responsibility. That's why so many dread it. And maybe we as Canadians will stop dreading it with leadership such as yours. And we thank you for being with us tonight.
Thanks for your interest and your comments. Bye now.
Bye-bye. Montreal, I'll be right back.
You're listening to The Last Angry Man, Beryl Wiseman, on the new 940 Montreal. You're listening to the new 940 Montreal. Now, back to The Last Angry Man, Beryl Wiseman. Call Beryl at 790-0006.
Montreal, we're back and we're talking about the views of these MPs that are on their fact-finding tour of Lebanon. And before we go to our next guest, we have Farouk from Ville-Saint-Laurent. Good evening, Farouk.
Yes, hi. Hello?
Yes. Sorry, do you have your radio on in the background? You're coming across a little echoey.
No, nothing is on.
Okay, just speak into your phone.
Okay, I just have this comment or an observation that we are looking at, at the things that we should be, but there are certain things that we are completely ignoring as if we don't have eyes or hearts. There are thousands of people who are being killed or slaughtered by the Israeli government right now. Even more are in its prisons.
Well, tell me, Farouk, where are the thousands being slaughtered, and what about those being slaughtered on the Israeli side through rockets of Hezbollah? But where are the thousands that are being slaughtered?
That's what exactly I was trying to say, that it seems that we don't have eyes or we don't have hearts. They are being slaughtered by the extraordinary million, billion-dollar, aircraft that the Israeli Air Force has. And
well, Farouk, you made a comment, and I'd just like to know something. You know, I feel for the Lebanese. I want Lebanon for the Lebanese. And I think, where are your voices whenever Hezbollah uses women and children in Lebanon as shields, as human shields? You made a comment that thousands of people are being killed by the Israelis. Where are the thousands of people being killed?
Well, or obviously you don't want to see or...
Please just give me an example. The Lebanese government says that under 500 people were killed in this war, and any death is a tragedy. But NATO, when it bombed Kosovo, killed much more than that. Russia, when it took down Chechnya and the Muslim radicals there, killed tens of thousands. So where are these thousands of people being killed by the Israelis, Farouk? I'd like to know.
Well, I don't...
Give me one example.
Anymore. People know where they are being killed.
Farouk, people don't know anything. Give me an example. You made a statement, stand behind it.
The other very important point that I would like...
But I didn't make the first point yet. Where are the people being killed? And this is the problem with people with your position. You come on, you make a statement, you expect everybody, every bleeding heart, to accept it at face value. That doesn't wash anymore. We don't buy it anymore. Get it?
You don't have to buy it because you don't have to buy it.
Farouk, you have evidence of something. Let me hear it. You don't. Farouk, you have evidence of something. Let's hear it. You made a statement. You made... Farouk,
hundreds of tons of bombs.
Yeah, but you said thousands of people were killed in Lebanon. Farouk, where were the thousands of people killed? Farouk, where were the thousands of people killed?
You want to listen there?
I've been asking you three times.
Were you listening? They are being killed every day in...
Okay, Farouk, Farouk, the Lebanese government and Hezbollah themselves say under 500 have been killed. Israel suffered under 200 deaths and a million people displaced. So you know what, Farouk, if you have some special information, maybe you should give it to the spy service. Okay, Terry in Ville-Saint-Laurent.
Hi.
Hi.
You know, I used to go to war rallies when I was a lot younger, back in the early 70s.
Yeah, me too.
Rallies. And, you know, I used to see, Beryl, I used to see North Vietnamese flags. I used to see American flags with swastikas on it. I used to see communist Chinese flags. And I didn't hear people crying about, marching with communists and this and that, only from the idiots. I mean, you were probably marching there too. They're not marching for Hezbollah. They're not marching for Israel. They're marching against war.
No, Terry, they weren't. On August the 6th, they weren't marching for peace. They were marching against something because when you have a press release...
They're marching against war.
No, Terry, when you have... If they're marching against war, why was the initial press release specifically exclusionary of Israel and specifically exclusionary of any Jewish group, even the Jewish groups that were anti-war? Nobody's arguing that you can't criticize the Israeli prosecution of the war, but these groups specifically not only excluded Jewish groups...
You're saying Hezbollah flags shouldn't be flown because they're terrorists. Now, 60 years ago... That could have been said about Israeli flags.
Well, that's
okay.
Drawing the comparison is odious.
Ago,
Terry, drawing the comparison is odious. Hezbollah isn't fighting for freedom. They're fighting for tyranny. That's the whole point. They're fighting to dominate under a culture that wants to suppress women, kill gays, kill anybody who doesn't think the way they do. They're not a freedom movement. They're a tyranny movement.
Is Israel a freedom movement?
Yes, Israel is a freedom movement. It's the only democracy. In Israel, Arabs are in the Knesset. There are Arab diplomats. There are Arab judges. There are Arab ambassadors. You name it, they've got it. A Jew can't get a visa to most Arab countries. That's the reality. Thank you for calling in. We're on with David Harris from Ottawa. David Harris, the former chief of strategic planning for CSIS. David, good evening.
Hey, good evening.
David, what kind of a signal does these kind of noises, do these kind of noises from elected officials send to our allies about Canada's, not worth, but Canada's reliance?
Well, it's hideous. I mean, how on earth can we seriously expect to not be considered a terror haven or a risk or a soft mark for terrorism if we find our own elected officials talking about sitting down with one of the most notorious and, I might add, racist terror organizations in the world? And, of course, it happens to be an illegal organization under the criminal code and listed as such after a major public debate.
Well, you know, let's go back to something Terry from Vincent Ron just said. Whether they're illegal under the criminal code or not, I want you to think about this, and we'll be back with you right after the break, but let's say they weren't specifically illegal. What do we have to talk to anybody about who's an ally of Iran that wants hegemony over the West? And we'll be right back with David Harris on that question right after this.
You're listening to The Last Angry Man, Beryl Wiseman, on the new 940 Montreal. This is the new 940 Montreal. Let's talk. Call The Last Angry Man, Beryl Wiseman, at 790-0006.
And with us is David Harris, former chief of strategic planning for CSIS. And David, the question I asked you before the break was, assuming, as a previous caller said, that Hezbollah was not on a terrorist list, it was not against the criminal code to have anything to do with them, what does the West have to talk to people like Hezbollah and Iran about when what they want to do is to destroy us unless we accept their ideology?
Well, can I back up a bit? Just minutes ago on CBC Radio, one of the members of this incredible fact-finding mission, as it's pleased to call itself...
Three Stooges.
Exactly. This one, from a fellow from, the Etobicoke area of the Toronto area. And he was interviewed, I think, from Cairo, minutes ago.
Yes, they're in Cairo now.
Yeah, and it was quite incredible. He now denies that he asked to have Hezbollah lifted from the terror list. And he suggested, with I don't know whether it was unbecoming naivety, over-elaborate stupidity, or just slyness, but he invoked the issue of the Irish peace talks, which, as you remember, at some points has involved Sinn Féin, which is felt to be a front for the Irish Republican Army, or other with other Irish terrorist groups. And the difference is that these Irish terrorist groups, Protestants and Catholics, are considered terrorists because of their means. They go after civilians, have gone after civilians, etc., in their violent activities.
And they're also isolated as to their goals.
And this is the key. Hezbollah has done all of that, but as a matter of fundamental doctrine, they are dedicated to the extermination of a race, a religion, and a nation-state of the United Nations organization. When you put all of that together, it makes such hideous crimes as apartheid look very pale.
And on top of it all, the IRA, as I said in my opening comments, was never a proxy army for a foreign power like Iran and Syria that want to make race war on the West.
Oh, that's exactly it. And, I mean, Hezbollah is simply an extended tentacle of Iran. It's been reflecting the invasion and occupation by Syria of Lebanon, if you want to talk about occupations. And so it goes. And if you talk to some of these guys in Iran and elsewhere, as manifest in the whole Hezbollah realm, I mean, when they talk about occupation, when they really get going and speak candidly, they're talking about Spain. I mean, Andalusia. I mean,
yes.
They're talking about all of the old holdings of the old ancient days of Islam, and then they're extending from there to talk about uniting the world in a single nation, a single ummah, the Islamic extremist ummah.
David Harris, please stay with us. We just want to have John join us on the line. John, welcome.
Yes, thank you. Well, I'm from Quebec, okay, in Laval, and... Well, I noticed there is a lot of Algerians, a lot of the Lebanese here, and at school there is strong propaganda, anti-Jewish, you know, especially with the Algerians.
Well, I don't think this is a national issue, a national-based issue, John. I mean, I think there are a lot of Algerians and a lot of Lebanese that want their countries freed of the tyrannies that are sucking them dry right now.
Yeah. No, what I mean by that, you know, to focus on the situation you're talking about, because you're, you know, referring of the manifestation,
mm-hmm.
Okay, that occurred in Montreal. And there is a socio-cultural thing here, and that's really pro, you know, they never verify the side, you know. By the way, I'm French Jew.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up here. And when I don't say I'm Jew, there's no problem. But when you start to show yourself...
You know, racism is one thing, John, and anti-Semitism is one thing, but there's another dimension to what is happening in the world today.
Mm-hmm.
When I talk about the war on tyranny, it is not only that Hezbollah or Iran wants to destroy Israel or other countries, in Israel's case, because they are Jewish and because it's a free state, but they want to destroy the rest of the West precisely because it is free. So there's two dimensions to this, and the more important dimension, frankly, right now is that people realize that we are in a war against an enemy that hates us in the West, generally, for what we do best, live free, not for any other parochial reason. In Israel's case, they have the added dimension of anti-Semitism. John, thank you. And David Harris, we're now joined by David Stevenson from Boston. How are you, David?
Hello. Good evening, Beryl. How are you?
David Stevenson, David Harris. David Stevenson is a leading Homeland Security expert, crisis management, the author of the Terrorist Survival Guide. David Stevenson, when you hear that elected officials in an allied country are saying the kind of things that some of our MPs have been saying, what does that tell you?
Oh, brother. It tells me that they're sadly out of touch with reality. It's really staggering that I must admit I'm not totally up on the specifics of the trip, Beryl, but...
Well, they basically first were reported saying, and David Harris, jump right in here if I get into this wrong, they were first reported as saying that Hezbollah should be taken off the terrorist list, and then one of the MPs said, well, I didn't really mean that, I meant I didn't like the conditions attached to being a terrorist list, because we should talk to them. Now, what the hell are we going to talk to these people about? They want to destroy the West.
Yeah, I believe in dialogue whenever possible, but clearly this is a group that's not interested in dialogue at all. And you know, as you said, they're hell bent on destroying us, and so there's no room for dialogue in a situation like that. You know, what we need to do is to reach beyond them to the Arab street. And sad to say, I think what we've been doing in the U.S. the last couple years is making that more and more difficult. But
David Stevenson, hold that thought. David Harris, stay with us. We'll be right back after this.
You're listening to The Last Angry Man, Beryl Wiseman, on the new 940 Montreal. You're listening to the new 940 Montreal. Now, back to The Last Angry Man, Beryl Wiseman. Call Beryl at 790-0006.
And we're on with David Harris, former Chief of Strategic Planning for CSIS, and from Boston, W. David Stevenson, a specialist in Homeland Security. David Stevenson, David Harris, how do David Stevens was just talking about reaching out to the Arab street. How does the Canadian street get to talk to the American street, or vice versa, I should say, and how do we get Canada to understand the global nature and the macro nature of what this conflict with Hezbollah is?
You know,
and either of you, please, tell each other and tell our listeners.
Well, it's key to know that this is a world war, and it has been perceived as such by those imposing it on us for any number of years. But we are not in the West, certainly not in Canada, conducting ourselves as though this is a life and death conflict, as though it's an existential conflict. We are continuing with the most unbelievable immigration and refugee policy that sees an influx of radicalism in the country. We know the average immigrant is going to be a fine, upstanding individual, but it's undeniable when you bring in 4 million people every four years that you're going to have real difficulty sifting things out. And at a time when, again, people are dedicated to your destruction, it's not a good idea. There's been some interesting revelations coming out of Iran in the last few days. Remarks made by an intelligence theorist in Iran, of all places. In other words, the stepmother, if you will, of Hezbollah. And they're saying, quite frankly, that their aim is to destroy what they refer to as Anglo-Saxon civilization. And they don't seem to be particularly choosy about how they go about achieving that, especially at a time when Iran is so desperately seeking a nuclear warhead.
David Stevenson, one of our callers earlier suggested the reason a lot of Canadians on the Canadian street don't get it yet, and as Jim Woolsey has called this World War IV, in his formulation, World War III being the Cold War, is that we've had alleged plots broken up here, but we haven't actually had a bomb. Is that what it's going to take?
Well, let's hope that it doesn't, but there is a real problem, I think, both in Canada and in the U.S. with out of sight, out of mind, and awful lot of my work has to do with preparing the individual. I know, Beryl, that defending the individual is one of your big values, and I think that one of the things we really need to be doing is to taking matters into our own hands, and by that I do not mean any kind of vigilante action, but preparation, and particularly using the incredible array of tools that have been created in the last 10, 15 years in terms of networked personal communications devices that allow us, I did a thing on my blog today about using camera phones to report suspicious activities and things of that sort, but doing it in a rational way that is not going to further compound problems and is going to, exacerbate the whole issue of racism. But we can't afford to wait until the next time, and it's very clear. One of the things that I think is a problem for us in the West is the time frame that
and David Stevenson, you're on that note, I'm getting the theme music in. We can't afford to wait. David Harris, thank you from Ottawa. David Stevenson, thank you from Boston. Montreal and everybody listening on the World Wide Web, we can't afford to wait. The time is now. And remember what Churchill said, an appeaser is someone who's feeding the crocodile, hoping he'll eat him last. Thanks, Jessica Nell.